Two Good & Co. coffee creamers are made with farm-fresh cream, real milk, and contain 3 grams of sugar per serving. That's 40% less than the 5 grams per serving in leading traditional coffee creamers for a rich, delicious experience. Whether you enjoy your coffee hot, cold, bold, or frothy, Two Good coffee creamers make every sip a good one. Two Good coffee creamers, real goodness in every sip. Find them at your local Kroger in the creamer aisle.
On this episode of Inside Boxing Live, we will review the weekend in boxing, some heavyweight fights that Chris was at calling. I broke a little news in the lightweight division, and we will open up the mailbag. Let's go. What is up, everybody? Welcome in to another edition of Inside Boxing Live. It is a product of John Boy Media. I am one half of this show, Dan Canobio, alongside every single week, the former world champ, Chris Algieri, current broadcaster, ESPN. He was up at Turning Stone this weekend in New York, upstate New York, for the ESPN card. So how are you feeling, Chris? You're back in Florida, out of the cold. Saw some heavyweight action. Tell us about your travels.
Not so much out of the cold. It's pretty cold here.
I mean, I don't want to hear it.
I had to wear a hoodie on my run this morning. It's, you know, wool hat.
But I don't want to hear it, man. But how are the travels? Yeah.
It was rough. You know, the fights end up pretty late on the East Coast. So, you know, it was like 12:15 by the time we wrapped. And then I had had my shuttle to the airport about 4 a.m. on Sunday morning. And it was 14 degrees in Syracuse. 14 degrees. I don't know what it was with the wind chill. Probably close to negative. But, yeah, it was a rough Sunday. Rough Sunday of travel, but I'm feeling good now. I got some good sleep.
I told you that when I texted, like, this is the side of showbiz that they don't tell you about. Like, it's great calling fights under those lights, and you're wearing a nice suit, and, you know, you're
best seat in the house.
Best seat in the house, and you get to talk about your opinions and analysis. It's the travel that really gets to you. But
there's a lot of rigmarole, man. I mean, fighter meetings are 4 or 5 hours long. You know, people don't realize that. And then also being on air for 4 to 6 hours straight is taxing in a different way than, you know, a workout or physical.
Yeah, mentally.
We're fighting there too.
Yeah. You're on the call for the whole card. I know, like, ESPN, they only on the regular ESPN, they only showed the two fights, the two heavyweight fights. They showed a bunch on ESPN Plus. But yeah, you're doing like 10 fights in one night.
Yeah, we got long nights, a lot of interviews, a lot of talking, a lot of time to fill.
I've done play-by-play for MMA, like local stuff on Long Island, 15 fights in one night. Like it's a marathon. And like by the end of it, you feel like you went through like a throbbing headache, like cause you're just thinking about what you're going to say next.
You should see our table. It looks like a triathlete's, like
water, electrolytes, Pedialyte,
gummy bears and pretzels and things that don't, you know, stay in your mouth too long. You eat them, get quick energy, coffee, water, right back to work.
Yeah, so let's get into this. The fights this weekend wasn't the most talked about card, but it was a heavyweight doubleheader over on ESPN, and you had F.A. Ajagba outpointing Stephen Shaw in the main event. A jab fest broke out in a heavyweight fight. Both fighters really needed it to move on to the next level. Stephen Shaw came up short. I was worried about this in the lead up to the fight. He's someone that doesn't really put combinations together. Has a good jab and has very sound technique, but I feel like he's going to kick himself, or he's going to be kicking himself now, because the fight was there for him to win. But Ajagba just had a better jab that night and had a few more power shots landed. It was a close fight, but Ajagba comes on top, and now he moves on to the next level and heavyweight division.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree exactly what you said. I had the same scorecard as the judges, 96-94 for Ajagba. And the only reason that Ajagba won the fight is because he actually made the fight happen. Yeah. Shaw was in the last five rounds, I gave them all to Ajagba. I had it at the first five, I had Shaw up four. He had won four of the five first five rounds. And then the last five, he did absolutely nothing. Put no punches together, no combinations. You know, you said he's not a combination puncher. He actually is. In fights where he's dominating lesser guys, he's ripping combinations that are very, very nice. He did not throw a single combination that night. And he's going to be kicking himself in the ass all week and from probably weeks and months at a time looking back at that fight.
Yeah, he was a guy that was looking for that opportunity, right? Like,
That was it.
I was covered a lot of his fights coming up, and he was always like, man, I just haven't got a shot. I never get my shot. That was a shot. They call him Big Shot, and that's his nickname, and he came up just short. And, you know, they were talking
it's
about
a,
if
it's a shame because he's talented. He's talented, but if that's your shot and that's the performance you give, you're not getting another shot.
Very frustrating from his side. F.A. Jogba. Let me start with F.A. Jogba. Like, he looks the part. The guy looks like a menacing heavyweight. You know, he should put everything together, but a lot of jabbing, which is fine. Will probably win you, keep you in fights, but just doesn't have that like killer instinct that you're going to need to take off like the top five guys. Like, I have him maybe like a top 15 heavyweight, like not even in the top 10, but it wasn't like you're watching that fight. I didn't walk away saying, man, I really want to see more of F.A. Jogba.
No. He's super limited. He's very one-dimensional. He's got zero defense. He's slow, very, very slow. He was in a fighter meeting and he said some pretty cool quotable things. And he's got this great demeanor and his awesome voice. I'm like, send that guy to Hollywood. Stop fighting. be a henchman in a Matrix movie, because I don't know, man. Boxing, I don't think is. I like you said, it's not. I didn't walk away from that fight being like, oh man, I can't wait till he fights. Dillian White or something, man.
You put him in Creed 4. He can fight Michael B. Jordan.
He's, like you said, he looks the part, and he sounds menacing.
Yeah, but one guy I do want to see more of, Johnny Rice. This guy had Johnny Rice knocks off undefeated fighters. He's a very funny guy. He gave one of the best post-fight interviews last year on January 1st, talking about how he doesn't have to work at the strip club anymore. I think he's a strip club bouncer. Al Haymon, call me. He's fighting Guido Vianello. He's down on the cards, officially. You know, we saw the scorecards when they came out. And then he lands a perfectly placed, I think it was a right hand, opens up a cut on Vianello. Benji Estevez, the referee, calls it a headbutt. Clearly it was not a headbutt. And we're thinking, not again. This cannot happen again, where we're going to, you know, give it to the wrong guy because this is boxing and the technology isn't there. New York State, or for some reason, that fight in particular didn't have replay. Like, what the hell? Like, why don't we have replay all around? So for a few minutes, it was like Guido Vianello is going to win off of a punch that was landed on him, that it was clearly a punch. Like, it wasn't a cut until Cormier stepped in, until the commission stepped in at the turning stone. And we're like, how about we just look at the ESPN replay? And it's funny because this is all happening right in front of our eyes live on ESPN. It's just like the beauty of boxing and the ridiculousness of the sport. Where it's like, oh, we don't have replay. All right, so let's just like make up a rule on the fly. And it was the right move and the right guy won. But the process of it was absolutely hilarious, to be honest.
Yeah. And like you said, it's boxing. It's a lot of it's backward. But it was strange because Benji Estevez, the referee, starts grabbing the scorecards, which is not necessary. It's a TKO victory. The rules are clear. That the punch was as clear as could be. That's the best replay I've ever seen on seeing a cut happen as it's happening in real time, right, as I've ever seen. I mean, right hand hits him, boom, head goes back. By the time he comes back, the thing splits open, blood hits his pack. Boom, cut from a punch. Perfect shot. Good job.
I think it's like hard to believe for some, even a referee that's been in there for like 20, 30 years. And Benji, great guy, spoke with him, huge Yankee fan. It's like hard to believe that a glove can cause a cut like that. It looks like, oh, that's a headbutt, but it can.
So, great point, Dan. Thanks for bringing this. So I'm gonna say this. Punches are supposed to happen. Butts are not. If you don't see it, it was a punch. That's how it works. You don't assume headbutt. You assume punch. You don't see a headbutt, it was a punch. That's how the rule is. But people think about it. Oh, it's a glove. No, it's not. It's a bone. It's a knuckle bone hitting another bone, and there's a very thin piece of flesh between those two bones. And that pressure of that impact causes the skin to split. It's like getting a really, really bad bruise, contusion, and it splits the skin away because we're literally talking bone on bone. You know, people don't realize how thin those gloves are. Oh, it's a glove. It doesn't hurt. Get the hell out of here. You're putting bones through that thing. And that's, you know, that when we're training, we're literally thinking about, I'm using my bones to hit bones. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I'm not hitting with pads. I'm punching with my hands and my knuckles. So yeah, that's a misnomer that gloves are soft or that gloves cause the cuts. It's not that. It's the bone on bone and impact of the punch. And Jerry Rice can punch. So
He can punch. I mean, he doesn't put a lot of punches together. I think he only had 30 landed up into that spot, up until that point. And Vianello was doubling him up and punches connected. And like, it looked like Rice was on his way to a loss. But it's heavyweight boxing, right? One punch can change it all. This guy knocks off undefeated fighters. I think he's got a little bit of a following in the boxing world. Put him in there with Chad Anderson. Like, that's a good test for Anderson. Like, people know who Johnny Rice is. Put him in there. I don't think he's going to beat Jared Anderson, but it's another one of these tests for Anderson where we can say, all right, can he knock out a Johnny Rice type of fighter? Keep that going. But I'd like to see more of Johnny Rice. I think he's an intriguing heavyweight.
So a little caveat that, you know, we're probably not going to hear about on telecast and whatnot, but or broadcast rather. Johnny Rice spars with all of them. All of the top heavyweights, like literally everybody in the top 10 to 15, Johnny Rice spars with on a regular basis. I would be surprised if I'd share it in. I'll put it that way.
Because they're buddies, or they sparred before?
They're not buddies, but they spar a lot. And
if they throw him a bag, he's definitely going to take it.
Oh no, he'll take any fight, of course. But he, Jared Anderson is like it's a whole different thing.
Yeah, but they were talking after. If I was like, oh, Shaw, if Shaw wins, they were like lining him up for Anderson. Like, I know it's a different fight or whatever, but I think it would be in like the running for an Anderson fight. Like, we're definitely going to see him again. I mean, this is now like another win for Rice, and, you know, did it on ESPN, and he's got somewhat of a following. So I would not be surprised if he's in there with a top 10-ish heavyweight. Not that Jared Anderson is a top 10-ish heavyweight, but Anderson's someone that all boxing fans know about. Hello, my friends. Can I tell you about DraftKings Sportsbook? NFL playoffs are in full swing. My Giants are trending up. We're one step closer to the Super Bowl. We got divisional playoffs coming up. It's the best time to fire up the DraftKings Sportsbook app, the official sports betting partner of the NFL. New customers can bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets instantly. Plus, all new and existing customers can take a shot at even bigger payout with this new thing that DraftKings is rolling out. It's the DraftKings stepped up same game parlays. It's pretty easy. You boost your NFL winnings with each leg up to 100%. I got my eyes on the G-men. I'm a Giants fan. I got my eyes on Daniel Jones rushing yards. He can't be stopped on the ground. Saquon Barkley looked outstanding. So an anytime touchdown for Saquon. And I also think the Giants might cover. Right there is a parlay, and you can boost it with the same game, the stepped up same game parlay. So all you got to do is go to the DraftKings Sportsbook app, use code IBL. And with that, new customers can bet $5 on any NFL game, any NFL divisional round game, and get up to $200 in bonus bets instantly. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code IBL. Minimum age and eligibility restrictions apply. See show notes for details. Back to the show. So that was Saturday night ESPN card. Earlier that weekend, broke some news. Danny Scoops. That's what I want to be. No, I don't break a lot of news. In fact, I don't even want to get into that lane of being like a newsbreaker or sources guy. Occasionally, some stuff comes to my attention, and if I'm pretty confident that it's going to happen, I'll fire it off on Twitter. And this is a fight that we've all known that was about to be made, and that's Devin Haney versus Vasily Lomachenko. What we didn't know is like the date. There was talking about before Ramadan, because that's something that Haney celebrates and actually takes part in, you know, fasting. I think it's like 30 days of fasting. He wanted it before that. It looks like Top Rank is going to have it in May 20th. We don't know the venue. MSG was reported, but from what I've heard, it's not going to be MSG. Bob Arum came out and said the Middle East is in play. I would not be shocked if they threw a ton of money at this fight, but it's pretty set. Devin Haney and Vasily Lomachenko, May 20th. ESPN pay-per-view. That's the one part that isn't the greatest, but I feel like that's a fight that fight fans will be willing to throw down on. I love this fight. We talked about it at length. Haney will be the favorite. Lomachenko, still very, very dangerous, but this is a fight that could propel Devin Haney into even bigger stardom.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this fight makes sense at this time. It seems like it's a changing of the guard. It's the old lion and the young lion battling. You know, I like the fight. I've always said that I think stylistically and size wise that Haney was a very bad matchup for Lomachenko. I mean, Lomachenko is that special, but it's just about father time. You know, in that last fight with Ortiz, we saw that number one, 135 is not a great weight class for Lomachenko. These guys are much bigger, these younger guys. And they're, you know, Ortiz is a guy that you wouldn't think could give Lomachenko a fight. He was very much in that fight, very much in that fight. And, you know, is that because he's big and young? Or is it because Lomachenko's old? Is it because he's been out of the ring for a while? Yeah, a lot of questions, but he's going to have to bring his A game for the Haney fight. Can Lomachenko win the fight? Absolutely. Do I think he's going to? I don't. I think Haney is going to take the crown and or keep the crown, but I think he's going to overtake the older Lomachenko. Sorry, Lomachenko fans. I'm a huge Lomachenko fan too. But
there are a lot of Lomachenko.
I'm one of them. But yeah. I just think that the matchup is a really tough matchup. The size, the length, the speed, the style. You know, Lomachenko's so good at getting on the inside and making an inside fight, but Haney's so good at not letting you inside. He doesn't fight in the inside. He fights long distance. He's a jabber. Yep. He's a mover.
The jab is and he is, lethal.
He has no problem making it a long-range fight that is won on length and jabs.
You will jab. He has no problem and no shame in it either. Like, no shame. This is how I win. This is how I win fights. Yeah, exactly.
And
it might not be the most aesthetically pleasing, and he doesn't listen to the criticisms of, oh, pillow hands, Haney, and the jab, 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 hold. This is how he wins fights. This is why he's undisputed at age 23. This is why he's getting the biggest fights. Because, like, just last week, I heard Ryan Garcia say, oh, I want Lomachenko. Everyone wants Lomachenko because he's a big name. He's got a huge following. You're going to get a massive payday, and he's beatable because he's, 35 years old. But Haney's getting him. So shout out Devin Haney for, number one, taking his career into his own hands and switching promoters, signing with Top Rank, knowing the landscape there, knowing that the majority of the good fights are with Top Rank, beating Kambosos twice in Australia. Now he gets in the driver's seat. He's the A side against Lomachenko on a pay-per-view. This is like what all young fighters want. This is what they all want. So he is in the driver's seat. And I do think it's a very winnable fight for Haney behind that jab. I do think that Lomachenko will push him. Now, obviously, he'll push him a lot more than Kambosos pushed Haney in this fight. But will it be enough? Like we said, like, they're on two different trajectories. Like, Haney is in a groove right now. He fought twice in 6 or 7 months, which you can't say that for many fighters these days. That's considered a groove. He's trending up. Lomachenko struggled, like you said, with Ortiz, and it was his first fight in 13, 14 months. Didn't put a lot of combinations together, but he'll at least be in a groove himself, Lomachenko. He'll at least be, that'll be two fights in less than a year for him. So I do think he'll push Haney, but I do think Haney will come out on top. I wouldn't sleep on Lomachenko, though. Don't think he's going to win, but still wouldn't sleep on him.
No, not at all. It's going to be, I think it's actually, I don't know. Haney wins boring fights. If the fight's good, that's tougher. That's not great for Haney. He likes the fights, like we said, to be long distance jab fest where his speed and defense wins the day. But Lomachenko's Lomachenko. The guy has been able to find a way and overcomes taller, longer guys, and he's got good speed too and rhythm. So it's an interesting matchup. But it's the big fight. So let's go.
It's a big one, and fans are excited for it. And I would like to see Haney pushed a little bit. I'd like to see Haney a little bit of adversity. Like, we saw it against Linares, but it was just like a little bit too late in the fight. So if Lomachenko doesn't do that thing where he did against Teofimo, where he came out and gave up the first 6-7 rounds and then stepped on the gas pedal in the second half and gave Teofimo fits. If he does that, then we'll have ourselves a fight, and it'll be for all the marbles. And this is Lomachenko's last big chance to be undisputed at 135. This is Haney's chance to become a star. This is an awesome fight, and May 20th. It's just a matter of where this one's going to be.
But Dan, does he become a star if he wins this fight?
I think a lot of people know Lomachenko. Like, people at my office or John Boy, they know the name Lomachenko. He's probably one of the top 10 names in boxing. He's on some people's top 10 pound for pound list, which, why, I don't know. I mean, superstar is in the boxing world, he'd be a superstar. Like, he won't be like a crossover. Like,
okay.
Tank,
good
or
distinction.
Ryan.
When I think of star, I think crossover. I think of
he could be
knowing who you are. I don't know. I don't think so. I don't think a win here does that. I don't think it makes him a crossover star. The reason that Lomachenko has been a crossover star It's not because he's undefeated, because he wasn't. He wasn't undefeated through the majority of his career. He lost pretty early on. He was a crossover star because of his style.
Mm-hmm.
His style was incredible. We've never seen a guy fight that way. The angles, the picking shots, the Olay, all that's the stuff, right, that gets outside people to be like, man, this guy's awesome. He fights like nobody I've ever seen.
Making guys quit on their stool. He had that string of either retiring guys or making them quit, where that's like an aura of invincibility.
He was Mashchenko for multiple years, but really top guys, top guys. When that was when he was fighting in weight classes that he actually belonged in. But I don't know. I think it's going to take more for Haney. I think that his road is going to be longer.
Yeah, it's hard to get on to become the crossover. I mean, you're right. Knockouts sell. The reason Tank is such a big star is because he knocks everyone out.
Knockouts.
And I agree with you there. Like a star in the sport. Like he'll be like legitimately on top 10 pound for pound list now. Where
think how long it took Floyd. It took Floyd forever.
Well, yeah, Haney should be. You know, he's got the looks. He's got he's a great interview. Good kid. We'll see. We'll see what it does for him. I do think he's going to win, but that's one of the bigger fights of the first half. On May 20th. Do you see this, Chris? Francis Ngannou is a free agent. He's out of his contract with the UFC. He turned down a pretty big contract, according to Dana White. You know how Dana White operates. He doesn't really let you know a lot of things. Dana White's already pushing this narrative that he just doesn't want to fight John Jones, because John Jones now is fighting Ciryl Gane. UFC 2.
Good fight.
That's crazy.
Good fight.
I'll get your thoughts on that.
Ciryl Gane's awesome.
Yeah, he's a big-ass Frenchman. I haven't seen a Frenchman that big ever. but Francis Ngannou, the reason we're talking about him on a boxing show is because he's been flirting with getting into the heavyweight division. He's been flirting with getting into boxing. This ridiculous Tyson Fury crossover fight has been floated out there. I do not like that Francis Ngannou is officially a free agent when the Fury-Usyk fight is not locked up yet. That scares me, because you know that Fury wants to do it. You know Fury loves those types of fights. This ridiculousness. He's a guy that spent time in the WWE. He's brought him in the ring that time, Ngannou. I think Ngannou, I don't know anything about that. I don't have any insider information here, but I think Ngannou signs with the PFL, and they have this whole new super fight division. So PFL throws him a ridiculous amount of money. He does one MMA fight, and then he goes after Tyson Fury for a boxing match. And it could be made because PFL is exclusive to ESPN. Top Rank's exclusive to ESPN. They're all somewhat in the same family. Don't think it's going to happen, but I would not be shocked if that's the route. Like one MMA fight for Ngannou in the super fight, they find like a heavyweight that's not under contract with the UFC as well. And then they start banging the drum. Hopefully Usyk and Fury fight first and we get that. So we do have that undisputed fight. And then Fury's the undisputed champion. I'm just really going ahead of myself here. But we see Ngannou, Fury. That's what he wants. That's what he's going to push for, I think.
We're going to see if they're going to be Dan Stradamus moving forward. But calling this out for way in advance. Hey, strategically, that all makes sense. I do not see the Tyson Fury and Ngannou fight ever happening.
I don't want to see it.
No. And so I was going to, when you were talking about mail, I don't hope that doesn't happen. I'm like, don't worry about it. That's not happening. We'll say Tyson Fury is going to happen before Ngannou. But that being said, hey, Ngannou, apparently, I've talked to Ngannou in the gym many times. First of all, he's the biggest man I've ever seen in my life. and it's insane. He's got, his abs are as big as my head. It's wild. It's like a tap take, huge hands, but super nice guy, loves boxing, loves boxing, loves the sport, loves to train it, loves to spar. But yeah, no. I don't want to say it would never happen, because Tyson Fury is that much of a wild card. And that would be the only way that it could actually
and happen money.
if he really pushed for it. Well, it's also a super easy fight for Tyson. Every other heavyweight in the division would be more difficult than Francis Ngannou. Sorry, MMA guys, it's not going
to
be good.
I think MMA fans know this by now. Like they're kind of like I don't know if there's an appetite for this fight, to be honest. Like the crossovers don't work anymore. MMA fans don't want to see another one of their guys get starched by a boxer. For God's sakes, Jake Paul iced Ben Askren. Like we're MMA fans are over this. They know that there's two different sports. I know it's two different disciplines, but it's still a spectacle. It will still bring in eyeballs of the casual sports fan where, oh my God, the UFC heavyweight champion, because no matter what Dana White says, no matter what anyone from the UFC says, Francis Ngannou is the champ. He is the heavyweight. He never lost. Like he contract dispute. He is the heavyweight champion of the world. I know they're going to try to not say that, and they're going to try to push all these different narratives and different fights. And but Nagano is the guy at heavyweight. So if they can match him up with the best heavyweight in boxing, put it in Saudi Arabia, I mean, I could see it all happening because we've seen like this story before. But that's just what I think Nagano is going to go for. Like, if he signs with Bellator, that's with Showtime, and I don't see that. This whole PFL with Jake Paul and the super fight division, you know, the ESPN ties, that's just my what I think will happen. Maybe it happens. We'll see. We'll see in the next couple of days and weeks.
Have you been looking at your crystal ball, the Dancer Dom?
Yeah, I try to figure out the landscape, you know, like just a guess, you know, it would you be shocked if that all played out that way?
I would be shocked if it ended with the Tyson Fury and Ngannou fight. Sure, that could be what they're angling for. If they signed with the PFL, that all makes sense. But I just actually making that fight happen, I don't see it.
As long as it happens after the Usyk one.
Because think about it. But we had McGregor and Floyd. I'm like, yeah, okay. Floyd was retired for 2 years, sitting on the couch. And McGregor was not the champ, not the best guy in UFC. Oof. Like people forget he was coming off losses. Yeah. Like he was literally losing in the UFC consistently, and then took this huge mega fight. We're talking about the heavyweight UFC champion taking on the heavyweight.
That's why it will
boxing
sell.
Champion. Won't happen. That's why that's why it's sub. That's why it won't happen. Absolutely not.
I hope it happens. I hope it. If it does happen, I hope it's after the Fury Usyk, of course, because I think that's what fans want. Just give us Fury Usyk, give us Undisputed, and then Fury, do whatever the hell you want, Fury. You want to do the WWE?
So then the Undisputed Boxing Heavyweight Champion is going to fight the UFC champion? No fucking way.
2023, no. Baby. This is what we're doing.
No way.
This is what's happening in this sport. I would not be shocked.
Yeah, that's optimistic Dan, pessimistic CA.
Well, I don't want it. I really don't want it to happen. I'd rather see Fury go on to fight, you know, like Joyce or Joshua or Wilder again. There are a lot more other fights I'd rather see Tyson Fury in than Francis Ngannou wash out. It would be like he would toy with him. He would honestly box circles around him.
He would decide when he's knocking him out. But anyway, I mean, there's so many good heavyweight fights to happen in the sport of boxing. We don't need to go to other sports.
I don't want it to happen, but we'll see. While we're on the topic of UFC, John Jones is back.
Love John.
They're
Jones.
All gone.
Baddest man on the planet. Baddest man on the planet. I'm telling you.
So John Jones is back. Dana White is a master of the manipulation here. Obviously, in the news for a bad reason. Hitting his wife, and the video comes out and it's awful. He lays low for about a week, then he's back, and he gives this whole speech. I'm not going to get too much into that, but says, you know, I'm not going to be punished. My punishment is being in the public eye as a wife beater. But then he goes and makes two huge announcements. Like, Nagano's out. John Jones is in. Cyril gone. Gaethje fight. And that's just how the UFC goes. That's like just like PR 101. Just like kind of give him something else to talk about.
He understands the news minute is a minute. So you just got to lay low. Let it pass. Let it breeze over you. Stay out of it. Don't bring it up. Come back. Just apologize. Move on.
One thing about John Jones, obviously I'm a noted MMA casual appreciator. And from what you probably know the same things here. They pride themselves, UFC, on the ranking system, right? It's like best versus best, pecking order, got to work your way up to the top. That's how we make our fights. Boxing is not like that. There's a million belts. Then John Jones, who's been out of the sport for 3 years, jumps the whole line. I still want to see it. Obviously, I'm happy about it. Fans are very excited about it, and it's awesome, and I will probably order the fight and watch it and be happy about it. But it's just funny that this is something that Dana White has parroted out there and talked about, how we have, you know, they pride themselves on a ranking system, but John Jones just jumped the whole line because it's going to sell.
It's John Jones. That's why. He is an anomaly for a lot of reasons, and he's above all that. He's above the rankings. You know, his career has been full of ups and a lot of downs, ins and outs of the sport, you know.
Everything, bro. It's drugs, PEDs.
Drugs, hot mics, you know, incredible fights. Yeah, forget it. Disqualifications. Like, the guy is arrested, you know, multiple times. He's nuts. But he's awesome. He's awesome. He's the baddest man on the planet. In a street fight, he beats every living person in the world. I'm telling you right now, he is the baddest man.
What about Ngannou?
Yes, he beats him too in a street fight.
Street fight, like no rules, no DQs.
No rules, no DQs. I mean, because he's bad too. He's a bad man. That hot mic when he was talking to Daniel Cormier. Oof, he's a rough dude. You know, he's out there to hurt people. Yeah, you got to look that up. That's nasty.
Yeah, look it up. I don't know what happened there. Yeah, that's our UFC portion.
Yeah. That's fun. I like it.
That's our UFC portion of the show. There's some connections with boxing, and we'll see how it all plays out. Let's get into our mailbag. I wanted to do this last week, but things got jumbled around. A lot of entries, so thank you, everyone. A lot of platforms.
We had a lot of entries.
For Instagram, we got people hitting us up on YouTube, obviously Twitter. So let's get right into it. Mr. Wright, 1986, wants to know, how do we feel about Oscar doing his typical airing out of negotiations through Twitter? And if you don't know what Mr. Wright is alluding to, Oscar on Saturday night tweets out that he hates YouTube boxing. Can we please get to real boxing? And then a couple tweets later, I have not got a contract from PBC. If I don't get one on Monday, I'm moving on, which is hilarious because it's like, can we get back to real boxing? And then also the biggest fight in the sport that you all want to see, I'm going to potentially move on from. I don't think he's going to move on from it. Usually when you see fights negotiated on Twitter, it's just all smoke. I mean, it's all just like posturing. The biggest fights get made behind the scenes. This is just Oscar firing off some tweets on a Saturday night. Your thoughts, Chris?
Yeah, I mean, it's nothing new. It's what Oscar does. You know, we mentioned Dana White and how he, you know, manipulates the market and the media. Oscar tries to do the same thing. I don't think he has as much pull as Dana does at this point of his career. We all kind of just know, like, that's Oscar being Oscar, you know. But it is what it is. Enough of nothing. I do kind of agree about the non-boxers who are getting these cards. I don't care. I don't care who KSI knocked out. Doesn't matter.
What about Salt Poppy?
Stupid. I don't even know who that is. That just came up on my. I have no clue who that person.
He actually is not bad. I did not watch that card. It was a perfect storm. This past weekend, where there wasn't anything really. It was like a slower weekend in the sport. We hadn't had it wasn't anything going on Saturday afternoon. This YouTube boxing event is now or not going away. It's on DAZN. So a lot of the boxing purists were triggered. They were angered. A lot of like, what is going on with our sport? And it's that over and over. It's like a cycle. Like it goes away for a little bit, and then it comes for the next event comes back. But that's our next question. Little John Hernandez. Can anyone stop Salt Poppy? Salt Poppy, I actually watched some of his highlights. Like he has hands, like he has pretty good technique. He knocked another guy out. He's kind of chubby. He's kind of like a lovable loser that has hands. Like it's funny, not good, but he's funny.
Yeah, well, that's why I don't care. People like the boxing purists get really pissed. Like, I don't care. That's in a whole other world. Like when you brought up Salt Poppy, I'm like, I don't know who that is. It doesn't matter to me. I'm a boxing fan. I don't need to know what that is. It's turned into Nick Jr., like the Nickelodeon Jr. That's what I see these kids. They're on DAZN Jr. It's not. It's a whole. I don't need to watch it. It's not the channel that I watch.
That's funny.
The real stuff. It doesn't matter to me.
I didn't think you'd go Nick Jr. on us.
Throwback.
I don't think it's going anywhere. They get crazy numbers on YouTube. There's a interest in it. It was a sellout arena. You take a look at the highlights on YouTube and the views are in the 3-4 million range. KSI, big name. They had like adult stars on it. L Brook, I think it's like a sex worker or something. Like it's wild. It's a wild scene. I didn't watch it, but I hear the production is fine. And I feel like this is like a broken record. I'm constantly asked what I think about YouTube boxing. And I feel like I didn't even comment on it this week on Twitter, but it just gets everyone so angered. It's a not boxing. Technically it is, like, but it's not. It's a separate lane. It's for the 100th time. It is celebrities and whatever you want to call these guys, influencers, using their celebrity to make money in one night. Boxing is pretty much the only sport you can do that in. Think about it. Like, where do you make money in one night? Concerts, like performances. That's a performance. They're getting in the ring and they're putting on a performance. Their subscribers are watching. People are tuned in, but at the end of the day, it's not professional boxing. It's white collar boxing. It's not going anywhere. It's a different lane than boxing. We don't have to do this every single time. It just is what it is. Like, they're not even like it's not dangerous because they're both fighters are at the same level. I feel like it's not like
they're both so bad.
And, right. It's not like we're seeing like 100-1 like we see in professional boxing, like Richard Torres, for instance. I keep using this example, like going in there and just blowing out a guy like dangerously. And it's like in the YouTube boxing, they're both pretty much at the same beginner level. So it is what it is. Like, maybe it will burn out in a few years. Maybe it won't. But it's not like a threat to the sport. And it's not like it's here because of anything boxing did wrong. It's here, here because boxing is popular and there's a market for it.
You know, boxing is cool. It's cool to be a boxer. It's cool to be a fighter. That's what these kids are doing. They're pretending. This is they're LARPing, basically. They're pretending cosplaying to be boxers. And that, and whatever. And it was funny because I remember the beginning was these promoters were like, oh, this is good for boxing. No, it's not. We've seen it. It's another lane. It's a whole other thing. The boxing fans aren't going to tune into that, just like the LARP fans are not going to tune into boxing. They're going to go cosplay over there and dress up like boxers and pretend to be that. They're not coming to our real boxing show. So
I used to think that, but I don't anymore. I used to be like, oh, we'll get some fans out of it. Maybe you do, but a very small percentage.
It's helping. You know what's helping? Gyms. Boxing gyms. Trainers.
That's good.
Boxing gym, boxing gyms, trainers, strength coaches, cool.
Old Man Lawrence, does boxing in 2023 need Inoue Fulton? Need is a strong term. Boxing needs a lot of things. I don't think it needs it. I would like to see it. One thing we did see is that Inoue did relinquish all his belts. We knew that was going to happen. He's moving up to 122. A new wrinkle in this story is Fulton Figueroa, which we thought was a done deal, is not a done deal. They don't have an agreement at all. So maybe this does open up a window. Maybe we do see Fulton Inoue sometime in 2023, but I don't think boxing necessarily needs it, but I would definitely watch. I think it's one of the top five fights you could make in the sport.
No, it's the fight that you and I have spoke about. We want that fight. I really want that fight. I was actually upset because Fulton is moving up away from Inoue, and I thought that this is the ideal time to actually make that fight happen. But does boxing need a junior featherweight fight? Literally, no, never. Boxing would never need a junior featherweight fight in order to flourish. If it was a heavyweight fight, it's a little different. But no, boxing does not need it. But it's a fight. It's a fight fan friendly fight for sure.
Yeah, Pidge, at Pidge wants to know, with Josh Taylor likely to move up after the Catterall rematch, who do you think is most likely to take over the 140-pound division? Who do you think?
Well, I think we're seeing a little rivalry between Ramirez and Prograde developing because of what happened with their breakdown in negotiations, and now they're going back and forth on Twitter. So that seems like that's going to be the matchup that's going to decide who's going to be the man of 40 after Josh Taylor, who is the man at 40, moves on.
Yeah, I think it's Prograde right now. I think he's the face of 140. This is if Taylor moves on. We'll see, because 147 is pretty tough for him. I think it's Prograde now, and then I think it's whoever moves up from 135, like whether Ryan Garcia, Tank, Devin Haney, one day Shakur. But as of now, I think it's Regis Prograde's division. Toe-to-toe Chris, what do you think of Boxer/Wasserman Alliance showing up on DAZN? Should Eddie be nervous? I think this is great. I think it's great for fight fans. Liam Smith Eubank fight will be shown on regular DAZN with your regular subscription. It's a boxer event. They usually don't put fights on DAZN. This is what fight fans want. Cross promotion. Give us the fights we want to see. They don't give a damn about the agreements. And should Eddie Hearn be nervous? No. Like, no. He should be putting on better fights, and competition leads to better product, and everyone should be happy at the end of the day that we're seeing more fights on DAZN, which fight fans pay for.
More network, more promoters on one network. Good. That means more boxing for fans. More boxing is good.
Very simple.
Yes. All good things.
At the problem, will Jim Lampley ever get a gig again? I hope so. I'm wearing my HBO boxing sweatshirt. Yes,
if Jim wants to work, he'd work.
He was rumored to do Triller, and that blew up. I thought maybe he would hop on.
He would have done. That would have been my fight.
I know. Awesome. That would have been awesome. He was rumored to maybe hop on PBC on Fox, but they don't really put on fight cards anymore. I don't see him going to Showtime. Don't see him hopping on ESPN. We're running out of maybe DAZN. That was a thought with him with DAZN. I would never say never, but we're going on like 5 years And I'm the last I've talked to him, he's pretty happy and pretty content. But I do know that he loves the sport and he still follows it.
You better bring a big checkbook if you're gonna bring Lampley out of retirement.
He's the best. He's the GOAT. He's the best to ever do it.
He is the GOAT.
I like this question. Put you on the spot here. Quesa de la Monte, one of our fan favorites. If a fight landed on Chris's lap, who would it have to be against for him to make a return?
Who you mean what? What? Yeah, I'm a prize fighter. I fought all the names and all the tough guys. Give me the fucking money.
So there's no name?
No.
Just money.
Money.
That makes sense.
Prize fighter.
That's what
prize
it's all fighter. About.
I fought all the names. I fought the Hall of Famers. I fought the pound for pounders. It's money.
I think fans are starting to realize that. It's like, it shouldn't be about money. No. It may be in another sport. Like, it should be about money in football because there's a lot of injuries and there's no guaranteed contract. Boxing, combat sports, like, this is about money. Like, you're putting your life on the line.
Do you remember when Floyd said that early on and people flipped out? Yeah. And he was like, oh, if that guy said he's not fighting for money, he's lying. He's right.
Just like any other job. Why do we work? Yes. I work for money. Like, I want to climb the ladder.
Yeah, I love this. And it's a passion. Everything's a passion project. But guess what, man? You're doing it to make money.
Of course. Reese Hunt. Who are some prospects that you believe deserve more shine attention? Personally, I like Kelvin Davis, Richardson Hitchens, and Ammo Williams. You got any prospects that you've been seeing? There was one on Saturday night I like, Bruce Carrington.
Brucey, Chushu. I feel he was getting a lot of heat for his performance on Saturday night. I agree with you, Dan. I think that he's one of those guys, but it's tough when you start your pro career on TV, and like Shu had those two stellar knockouts, but he's not that kind of guy. So people are expecting him to knock out every guy moving forward. And it's just, I don't think he's that kind of boxer. You know, now he's 6-0 with 3 knockouts. And I think he's going to be one of those guys who's going to be about a 50% KO percentage type guy, just like I was. You know, I remember it was early on in my career. I was 5-0 with 3 knockouts. And I had some good early knockouts too, but I wasn't on TV. And Steve Farhood is interviewing me prior to the fight at a fighter meeting. And he goes, so what do you consider yourself, a boxer or a puncher? I'm like, oh, no, I'm much more of a boxer. He goes, you know, I saw that last fight. I think you're a puncher. And I'm like, I don't think so. I'm a boxer. He's like, nah, we're going to call you a puncher on air. I'm like, okay. So like,
changes everything.
I think that's kind of happening with Choo Choo. You know, and it's tough, man. It's tough when your everything you do is under a microscope from the very get. So it's a different era now. You got these guys who are literally having their pro debuts live on TV.
It's a catch-22. It's a gift and a curse for these kids because they're getting exposure.
Yeah.
Boxing's all about exposure. It's all about name recognition, getting your name out there. But also, like you said, like you're going through some trials and tribulations early on when maybe these fights in like 10 years ago would be dark. You would never see them. You would maybe have a writer write about them. It wouldn't be on ESPN Plus for everyone to see if they do want to see them. But it is a good thing to see these prospects from a fan's perspective. Adam Azeem. I've heard about this kid. He's a British fighter, knockout artist. I think he's at 154. Someone to keep an eye on. Someone that Jake Paul signed, Ashton Sly, 18 years old. I think he's 8-0 with 8 knockouts. Another name to keep an eye on. And there's a lot of them out there. There's a lot of prospects.
I got a kid in my gym, Eric Tudor. He's been fighting a lot of Golden Boy cards, 54-pounder. Tall, good looking, good, really good technical skills, big amateur background, was high level in the AMs, fought all these guys, beat some really good guys in the amateurs too. But he's coming up. I think he's got to be around 6 or 7-0 with almost all knockouts. Yeah, he's very, very solid. I've sparred with him a few times as well. Him and his brother are very, very talented young guys, 21 years old. We're going to be hearing about him very soon.
Right. Then there's, of course, like the Keyshawn Davises and the Diego Pachecos and the upper echelon.
But
prospects.
Those guys are getting.
Yeah.
They're getting shine. You know, this question was for people who should get more. I mean,
there are a ton of Keyshawn them. You just have to get that moment.
Is a top. Yeah. Jared Anderson's another one. We're all talking about him. I think this question is more about who should we be talking about more, who's not getting it.
Right. This is a good question for you, Ben Scanlon. Hey, guys. Do you think it's fair to say there's been an increased emphasis on stance switching in boxing in recent years? And if so, why?
I don't think so. I think that's something that's been part of the sport forever. We're just seeing it now because we're seeing guys doing it at such a high level, right? Terrence Crawford's one of the best to ever do it. He's just as dangerous on either side. It's extremely, extremely impressive. So I think it's a more display now, but it's something that's always been done. Floyd used to do it all the time. He hurt his hand early in his career. He would hurt his hand. He'd switch sides and he would fight southpaw from that position. Guys used to do it. And Marvin Hagler did it really well. He was very seamless in the way that he did it. So I know
it was almost his demise. I mean, what he did against Leonard. Yeah. Why did he come out southpaw against Leonard?
Well, he did the same thing with John the Beast Mugabe. Like, he came out and you're like, what are you doing? Go, you know, dude, why are you fighting this way? And then he switched up and like completely dominated. So no, I don't think it's a new thing. I think maybe people aren't as aware of the history of all those other fighters who are doing it. I just think that we're seeing literally one of the arguably the pound for my best fighter in the world is a very good switch hitter.
Crawford, right?
Yeah, Crawford.
Yeah, he's made it. Like, not everyone can do that. And like you said, yeah, you're seeing it at the top level. not so much all over the sport. Let's see. We've got a few more. Reese Hunt, if Errol is actually moving up to 154, how does he fare against guys like Fundora, Castaño, Harrison?
Stops all three of them. Like, right away. Like, not, I don't mean like knocks him out right away, but I mean like if he jumps up to 54 and fights those guys like right away, straight away, he beats all those guys.
Especially those three. Like Fundora, we've seen him down. His defense is a little leaky. Castaño,
he's got that
down.
Long torso.
Yeah.
Errol Spence is one of the best body punchers in the game.
Yeah, Castaño has been down. Good fighter. I'd love to see that fight. Castaño Spence would be awesome.
That's a fun one. A
lot of pressure in that fight.
Right in the middle.
Right. And Harrison's very good defensively, but I think best days are...
Tony's
are...
awesome, an awesome fighter, but he's
not really an
active
fighter.
He's been stopped. No, and he's been coaching. I think he's working with Baumgartner right now.
Yeah, he is.
Tony's a very skilled guy. He's got a lot of boxing knowledge and a high IQ.
No, he's awesome. But I think that guy's a great entertainer, too.
Yeah. The physicality of Spence is way too much for all three of those guys.
Finally, last question comes from Sean Singletary. People seem split on Jerron Ennis' ceiling after his latest decision. I'd argue that fights like that are beneficial for a fighter's growth. I agree. P.S. Dan, you've become my source for all boxing news. Now, Jiri's technical analysis is incredible.
Oh, thank you. Appreciate that. Getting some good feedback for the pod. That's cool.
Yeah, Sean Singletary. His question is about Ennis and his ceiling. I think we talked about this on the last Monday show after Ennis's fight with Karen. These are fights that you need. We would like to have seen him figure it out, cut off the ring later in the fight, see some more rounds. I don't think it did anything terrible for his development. If anything, it kind of slowed down this insane hyperbole around Boots Ennis, which maybe is like a relief for him because it was getting out of control, like the over-the-top praise. But I don't think it's going to hurt his development. I think it gives him things to work on, no?
No, I think pumping the brakes a little bit. Like you said, it was a lot of high praise and talk about him fighting Crawford and Spence now. That talk has gone away, and that's fine. He's still young. He still has more development to do. I like him being active. I like him going out there and getting wins. And listen, I want to see – the guy needs to go round, so you can't just blow everybody out. And that's boxing, man. That's always been the case. Even knockout punchers, you can't knock out everyone, especially if you're fighting skilled guys. And the guy, Chuhatsian was a good fighter. And the style that he chose to fight made it a very difficult fight for Boots to really build on. I think it showed some of the immaturity of Boots and his style and his development. But that's fine. I don't think it changes his ceiling. I just think it changes his timeline, which is probably a good thing. Yeah. But we already spoke about this.
I agree. That is our show.
I got a couple from mine. If you got some more time there, Mr. Dan.
Yeah, I do. Of course.
So got to go to Moe's. Ask who would win between Edwin Valerio and Johnny Tapia in their prime.
Oh, good God.
Now they were nowhere near each other in weight classes, so they would never fight. In terms of that, but if we were going to do like pound for pound, situation,
mythical matchup,
it almost reminds me of Johnny Tapia and oh my God, the New Mexico matchup. I've drawn a blank.
New Mexico fighter.
He's a Mexican fighter from New Mexico. There was like a New Mexico clash, the Albuquerque New Mexico clash. Danny Romero.
Okay, you got it.
Love that fight. Danny Romero, Danny Tapia. Johnny Tapia, phenomenal fight. Any guys at home, fight fans, go look that fight up. It's absolutely phenomenal. The crowd was insane. The fight was incredible. And Romero was a puncher, killer puncher. And Tapia was the boxer, not a big knockout guy. And they went at it. Wow. And Tapia came out victorious. So Tapia was very good at fighting punchers. And, you know, Edwin Valera is obviously a big, big-time puncher. So I'm also very – I'm a huge Johnny Tapia fan. So I'm leaning Johnny Tapia okay. in the mythical pound-for-pound matchup because they are very far apart in weight classes. Johnny's best was that, you know, in the teens, and Valera was a 35-pounder. So.
You got any more?
Valera. Yes. Vertex Combat Sports has your take on Spence fighting Thurman at 54 instead of a top welterweight. We spoke about that on air before, and I just said that means that the Crawford fight's not happening. But I got Spence in that fight. This is a good one from Global Athletics Co. Thoughts on the WBC transgender category proposal? Okay. I want to hear this from
oh, you're putting me on the spot now?
I'm putting you on the spot about that one.
I mean, it's better than like trans, like a woman that was, wait, how do you want to say this? It's better than a man or a woman fighting someone that is born a man and transition. So at least the WBC is getting out in front of it because this could potentially be an issue down the road. And they're like, no, listen, like we have transgender division here. So if you were born a woman and now you've transitioned to a man, you're going to fight the same thing and vice versa. So it was interesting because boxing fans, I feel like, are the best at these types of topics. And it's just a different, they have different thoughts on it. But I do commend the WBC for at least getting it right because we're seeing it in other sports, right, with this women swimmer that's born a man and she's like dominating these college athletes. It's not fair. It's not right. But now if they were all on a like even playing field or as even as it can get, then it's at least from a competitive standpoint better. Thank you for putting me on the spot.
Yeah, I think it's a complete fluff move by the WBC. It's not real. It's
well,
not
a lot of their moves are fluff.
Yeah. It's a complete fluff move. Like you said, they're trying to get ahead of something. Another category, there's so few of transgender athlete boxers at this stage, it doesn't mean anything. They're making a different category. Who are they going to fight? There's not enough.
That's what I said, getting out in front of it. Because if it does happen, and they're prepared now, WBC. It could happen in a different...
They've already made the rule. Now it's like, okay, you're in that division. You're not going to fight anybody, but you're in that division. You can't cross over and fight in the normal rankings. So I think it just that's kind of what it is. People are looking at it like, oh, this is so progressive. No, it's not. It's getting in front of it and moving them to their own location. I'm sure I'm sure a lot of the very, very progressive people might be mad about that decision. Actually,
we'll see if it happens. And if I mean, there's a bunch of other different sanctioning bodies, and like not WBC isn't the only one. So it could pop up where it could be on a card that's has a IBF or WBO or the million other ones. So, yeah, we'll see. I saw that in the news last week, and I didn't exactly know what to think of it. And I don't think it's going to happen anytime soon. But if it does, at least the WBC is prepared for it.
Sure.
You got anything else?
No, that was the last one.
Okay, the hardest one at the end.
I thought that was, yeah. Close with that one.
good show. Got to a lot of topics. We'll be back on Thursday. Fight preview. Chris Eubank is back. Liam Smith is back. Who knows? We'll have some.
That's
more.
A fun fight.
It is a very
fun,
fun
fight.
It's a fun it's fight. Fun fight in the afternoon here in the States on regular DAZN. It should do good numbers over in the UK. I'm happy for Eubank. You know, like. Guy handled that whole situation with Ben. Like, I think he came out on top in that one. Obviously, would have liked to fight him, but I think he came out with more fans, more adulation. I want to watch him fight, see what he's going to do next. So I'm interested.
I agree. But. He handled it like a gentleman and like a champion. And I think his stock has risen because of it. Sucks because he didn't get the fight and he didn't get that payday. But it's nice to see him getting back into the ring, not too far off, back in his normal weight class.
All right, that's our show. See you next week. Remember, keep your hands up at all times. Protect yourselves. Stay out of them DMs.
Spring break isn't what it used to be. It's better. This spring, stay 3 nights and get a $50 Best Western gift card. Life's a trip. Make the most of it at Best Western. Visit bestwestern.com for complete terms and conditions.